My guess is, back here on Darren, Donick, and Chase, our show presented by Croatian CBD, that Elijah was probably secretly, privately, a little excited that Vince was, you know, had to deal with some stuff with his phone because he got to play this twice.
You'd be correct.
He truly loves playing this. So let's head east. Let's head to Knoxville. Vince Ferrara, the sports animal, WNML, at Vince Sports on Twitter. It's free and easy to do. Give him a follow. 18 arrested, 47 ejected at the game Saturday night. I saw that from one of the TV stations there in Knoxville, Vince. As we've been talking about all day long, the unfortunate part is it was a really good college football game, a very, very, very long college football game. But marred in a very good college football game is nobody's talking about the game. Everybody's talking about what happened. Where were you when all this was taking place? We've fielded a lot of calls today on people who were at Neyland Stadium, kind of giving us their perspective. What about you?
Well, first of all, not only this really good game that was crazy and going down to the wire, is that not being discussed, but all of the positivity of the atmosphere, the Checker Neyland, the energy, man, the buzz going into the game was phenomenal. I mean, it's been a long time since we've seen anything like that. Maybe going back to Florida 2016, the last time there's been that kind of energy in that stadium. And that wasn't even a night game. So I think that's getting lost some in this. But I was initially setting up in the post-game room because we do video, we do audio, so I try to get there, go there first, get all our stuff set up, and then I go out onto the field. So when that delay started, I was actually inside, and then they weren't progressing farther into the game, so I went outside, and they were still in the delay, and I was out there for maybe the last 10 minutes-ish of the delay, and there were still some people throwing stuff, and the public address announcer said multiple times, if you please don't throw objects onto the field, if you continue to do so, the game will be forfeited. So, I mean, they were really harsh and direct in saying stop it.
Okay, can we pause right there for a second?
Sure.
Because we know that took place. But what the question that we have that we've tossed around today is, do they really have the authority to do that? Is that in the rules? Does that officiating crew have the ability to literally blow their whistles and say, game over?
Because according to the television broadcast, Vince, and that's all that I'm going off of, they said that they did not. The officials did not have the authority to do that.
I mean, that's what the announcers are saying, but yet the PA announcer is saying, if you don't stop,
is threatening
it's going to be, the game is going to be forfeited, yet the crew doing the game is saying, you know, that they can't do that. So what gives? What is it?
It's the semantics. I mean, it's not the officials that I believe can do that, but they're in conjunction. I mean, the SEC was in contact with the stadium management. I mean, it can be called for safety reasons. I just don't think it's solely on those officials. So that may be how that was interpreted. I don't think there's a standard operating procedure of if this happens, then it ends in a forfeit. And some would like to see that kind of, hey, you get to a certain delay, you're done. But it was kind of uncharted territory with that sort of chaos that had ensued. And it's interesting, another aspect to make it more confusing is Heupel was asked numerous times in the postgame, what were the officials? They discussing forfeiting the game, and he's like, no, we were just talking about, you know, safety of the players and, you know, getting it back going. And so the coaches weren't really talking as if that was a factor, but that was mentioned, you know, through the PA. So I haven't gone to find out from the UT standpoint why there was that difference of opinion, but I think that's where the semantics come into play.
The other thing we were tossing around is why not have some layers to this, okay? The first one is the PA announcer gets on and says, folks, if you don't stop doing this, there's going to be a penalty. And then if you don't stop doing it, there's going to be a game that's going to, it's going to be a forfeiture, okay? Because after the PA announcement, and if it continues and there's a delay, then why aren't the officials throwing a flag and giving a 15-yard penalty? And then just have like a you know, basically a three-step process to, okay, here's your warning. The next time, then your home, your team that you're cheering for is going to get penalized on the field. So now you're affecting the team that you want to win. And then, oh, by the way, the next time, if you don't stop, if this just keeps going, then we're going to call the game and your team is going to lose. I mean, to me, it seems like we're missing some steps in all this. Some people have called in and suggested, and it's hard for me to say they're not right, that the officials didn't have a good grasp of this game, or they weren't in control of this game. We know about all the fake, all the alleged fake injuries, or all the injuries, all how long this game, you know, took, because bodies were laying on the field, and you know the fans were upset about that. That they didn't have a good grasp of being in control in this game. You were there. Do you believe that? Do you agree with that, or do you disagree?
Well, where it applies is the fan frustration, because not only were there constantly Ole Miss players going down, and trust me, Tennessee did it as well. The SEC Network showed Josh.
That's what I've tried to point out. Like, it wasn't. I get it. Ole Miss, it does seem like came in like Sam's Club or Costco in bulk, but right. Tennessee was doing it too.
Yes, a lot of people do it. So. It's not exclusive to them, but they did it a lot against Arkansas. They did it a lot during that game. So there was that frustration. And then there was the scoop and score. There was the just before that, which really is what was the final straw, was
the fourth
the spotting
down.
Of Jacob Warren on fourth down.
Yeah.
And so all of that, the accumulation in maybe years prior to that, just adding to the bulk of it, and so that's where it was. So I don't know if they threatened to throw a flag. My guess is that was only going to make things worse. That's something you apply, I think, afterwards. Now, also, because I was in that room, I don't know what the initial PA announcements were. I just know when I was out there, it was the back end of it. And that's when they were saying that it could be forfeited. I don't know how sort of calm the messages or direct were before that, or if they mentioned there could be penalties against the home team or any of that kind of stuff.
Well, we had a caller
sort of layers.
Well, we had a caller earlier. Paint once again. This is just, you know, their perspective. We're just going off phone calls from people who claimed they were there, and they were giving us their perspective that was sitting very low down in the lower bowl, because I specifically asked, where were you sitting? And their perspective was, when the PA announcer did make that announcement and did throw out the forfeit word, that it did see their view or their opinion, it did seem to resonate with people, like, oh, like things, you know, like, okay, this is getting real. Whether that's true or not, that's just their perspective. That maybe, you know, the people that were riled up were starting to go, oh, okay, well, then maybe we need to calm down. I don't know. I'm just, once again, I'm telling you, one person, you know, a call that we took earlier, their perspective of how they felt that the mood did change a little bit. It had more of a serious tone once that announcement was made about a possible forfeit.
Yeah, perhaps. And it may have just been the natural sort of removing of the people that were involved, and it, you know, it sort of, you know, fizzling out naturally as well. Hopefully that does resonate, because that is pretty significant. I think it's how you do it, how you say it. If a referee in the middle of the field throws up a flag, you know, and just plays it out, I think that it would incite fans even more. But I think if you say what you're going to do, the plan, and what the ramifications can be, I think it can help. It's all in the delivery. I'll tell you this, that the throwing of stuff, because I was down there on the sideline from that point through the end of the game, I stood next to a photographer with blood on the bridge of his nose. And we were talking for a second, and I said, did you get hit by something? He said, yep, got hit by a bottle in the face. One of our morning co-hosts got hit in the head by a recycling bin that somebody grabbed and threw towards the sideline. Now, he was okay, just had, like, you know, liquid and stuff on him and seemed to be okay. But, I mean, the people were just going nuts. And this theory that it was a few people or 100 people, no, there was a lot more debris than 100 people. And then one other thing, Joe Milton ran out of bounds, and that's another story right in front of me. So after that, I was on the Ole Miss sideline, and an Ole Miss player was going out towards the field because we all started there, and he said to me and another media guy next to me, he said, heads up, and that's because he saw people after the game still throwing stuff again. The middle of the field was the best place to be until things calmed down a little bit, but just very unfortunate. Lane Kiffin, you saw a video of him catching a bottle in the air with something other than water in the middle of it. So it was more than just a few, but it doesn't represent everybody. And that's where this is kind of tough to talk about, because the fans that didn't do anything wrong are frustrated that they're being grouped together with them, and they want to direct, immediately deflect it. Oh, but the officiating. Oh, but people in the national media making, ripping us unfairly. It's not us. So it's just a very complicated thing, because you understand the frustration of the fans that didn't do this, and then, you know, all the accumulation of everything that's happened to them on top of that, and losing the game and feeling like you got so many tough calls during that game.
Vince Ferrara is with us. We're going back through the madness of Saturday night in Knoxville. Vince, I want to hit you on one play, because what triggered it, of course, is the 4th and 24. They reviewed the play. They don't get the review, and that's when the delay begins. Here's what I saw, and you tell me, because I'm sure you've gone back and forth through this a million times. But 4th and 24, the guy catches the pass. He goes down. First thing, there's not an official really anywhere near to really see where, in fact, he does go down. So that's the first problem. So in my opinion, it's kind of a guess where they initially spotted the ball. They easily could have spotted it a yard ahead, and then the review would have gone Tennessee's way. But it was a bad spot. But when they looked at it, In the replay, of course, and I have said this for years, I always am bellyaching because a lot of times I'm watching Vanderbilt's game and they usually don't get the top level of cameras and coverage. But I have always said that for a replay review system, they need to have better looks. And for them to not have any reverse angle cameras to look at it, you really didn't get a good look of where the ball – you could tell where the ball was. It was near his belly button, belt, whatever you want to say, bottom of his numbers. So I think that when you looked at that, the ball was shy of the line to gain. But it was really fuzzy, for sure. And so you had to go with the call on the field. So you tell me where I'm wrong on that. But to me, this is just what's been happening in SEC games for a long, long time. To lose your mind over that one call, to me, that wasn't an egregious bad call.
Well, I agree with a lot of what you said, but it's on the back end of everything else that had happened. So that was sort of the last straw. That put fans over the top. It was the scoop and score. It was all the fake injuries, numerous other things that frustrated fans in this game alone. So that, and they thought that ended Tennessee's chance to win the game. And as it turns out, they still had another chance to win the game. But that, it wasn't just that. That was the last straw. And I agree with everything you said there, Willie. They didn't have a great view of it. If they had originally ruled him past the yard to gain, I think that call would have also stood, because there wasn't a great look. And even Heupel kind of mentioned it today when we asked him about it, because, you know, of course, that kind of stuff was a, you know, big topic of conversation. and he said, you know, he wasn't in the great position because the play was 23, 24 yards down the field. And you don't see that, those kind of, you know, fourth and long conversions like that. So I think that's the tough part of it. And then, yes, there have been plenty of times where you wonder, all right, with all this technology, you got all these networks, they can't have something to be able to have used from both sides and then, you know, move along with the play to where you can get a really good view at it. And then the one thing that isn't being talked about enough, and you kind of mentioned it, is Jacob Warren needs to stretch that ball out. He had it tight. You know, he's trying to protect the ball. I get it. But at that point, the number one priority, more so than ball security, which you would normally have in your mind as top priority in any other situation in a game, it needs to be to get as far across the line and get that first down to keep the game alive at that point. So I think there's a little bit of that in play also.
Yeah, if he had done that at all, I think they might have gotten the benefit of the doubt because his helmet and shoulders kind of land on the line, but the ball was nowhere near where he landed. Like, you know what I mean? Like, if he extends it out, then I think it would have been a no-brainer for sure. What about this, Vince? I read the account. I mean, Joe Rexroad's got an account. David Ubbin's got the account. I'm sure some people are smoldering about it, but I do think a reflection a little bit is warranted in terms of when you try to go back, how did you get to this, right? Because I think from afar, from a deep perspective, this happens to somebody every week, right? Somebody feels like they got a raw deal on the calls and it didn't go their way. You know, the refs are against it. That's always just a natural thing. And like I said at the beginning of the show, I think any team's fan base can be drawn into temporary insanity. But to go for 18 minutes, that's beyond what a normal, if you want to call it, a normal outrage like this happens. So the why it happens to Tennessee, what do you think there's going to be behind some closed doors some self-reflection here?
I do. I mean, we had an immediate, but that night you had statements issued by Chancellor Dante Plowman, Danny White, SEC Commissioner Greg Sankey. Greg Sankey also went on The Nation on our Sunday night show and had similar types of things to say as in his statement that it's not acceptable and they're going to look into it. And also he kind of indicated in terms of the faking injuries thing that he might lean towards something where players have to sit out multiple types of plays rather than just be able to come right back in there. We'll see if that gets any traction. But back to your original point, I do think they need to review a lot of things in terms of security and then alcohol sales as well. A lot of fans are putting this on alcohol sales. Remember I said last week that was something that they had enhanced because that was a big complaint of a lot of fans, and Danny White listened to them. Those long lines for concessions, there weren't enough places to sales points. So they increased that and made that easier. So how much did that contribute to the insanity? I tell you what, I'm out on the Ball Network pregame show with a roll out there talking to fans and getting questions and things like that and being out there and then walking back fighting through the crowd to get inside our media gate. There are a lot of people that were drunk before kickoff. So you add to that certainly once you get in. Now, look, that's been a football tradition for years where people are bringing their own alcohol and their own tailgate and getting wasted before they ever get inside. But how much does that play in? So I think those are all things they got to look at. I don't have all the answers, but, yes, they are going to look at. I'm sure Danny White didn't enjoy having that conversation with Greg Sankey. Why are you in there? Why is the University of Tennessee in this situation and embarrassing us? And you know, I think those are probably tough conversations that the chancellor and the AD having with the commissioner. So they're going to have to do something, in my opinion.
We're talking to Vince Ferrara, 99.1, the Sports Animal in Knoxville. All right, now let's talk about the end of the actual football game. on the field and not things being thrown. Number one, Hendon Hooker, what's the concern level there? Because I thought he played a whale of a game. He has certainly been the answer at quarterback for them. How is he, and what did you make of the final play, Joe Milton not throwing the ball and trying to keep it and run it in?
Well, first on Hooker, Chase, I'm glad you asked me about that, because to me that was the most significant thing that came out of Josh Heupel, his press conference this afternoon, and that Hendon Hooker, his status for this Saturday is unknown, but Josh Heupel doesn't think it's long-term. So that's very much a positive, because even if he misses this game, you got the open week after that. My guess is we won't see him on Saturday if there's any question about his health.
Nor should you, really, right?
I mean, right.
Absolutely.
And I think that will carry over, Chase, and it should, into a number of the other players that are banged up and questionable, because there are a lot of them. This is a thin roster as it is, and then you've had a ton of injuries on top of that with guys being banged up. So I think they will side on resting a number of those players, giving them basically two more weeks to get healthy, and then you feel like you got a closer to a full roster for Kentucky, which is a huge game for them. So I think that's a massive positive. There was the fear, and when they were, you know, helping him off the field, he wouldn't put much weight on that right leg, that it could be serious and season-ending. At least now Tennessee has hope for the season, because it seems like, and I think there is, a big drop-off from Hooker to Milton, and then who knows what you get from Bailey if we ever see him. But I think as far as that last play, and by the way, that also is a factor for Evans, and who they really missed in that game, the running back, and also Cooper Mays, their starting center, who still didn't come back in that game. As far as Milton, you made a nice throw in his first play to Walker Merrill, get some yards, and then, you know, high on the throw to Tillman. It was tight coverage. It's a desperation type of situation. You know, maybe Tillman, you know, mistimed his jump. You could say that. It actually touched his hand. So it's tough. You know, you would have liked to have seen that be a little bit lower. So he wasn't perfect on that. They missed an opportunity to cash in there. And then inexplicable. What I don't know is, just haven't got a clear answer on it, is where was he and the team reminded, give us a chance, you got to put in the end zone. If the coaching staff is not reminding their players before that play that needs to happen, then that's a failure from their standpoint. You can't just leave it on the kids and assume they're going to know what to do in that situation. Even though they should know, because it's natural, it's the last play of the game, it's just common sense. But, man, sometimes the moment got nervous. I don't get it, but they gave themselves no chance. So it reminded me a little bit. You guys may remember this. Remember Alvin Kamara running
absolutely
out of bounds?
Absolutely, yep, yeah. Oh, believe me. Nashville? Every Vanderbilt fan does. Yeah. That was like the biggest sigh of relief ever. Like Alvin Kamara's got the ball with a chance, and he went out of bounds.
Which was rare in those days with Butch Jones.
Yeah, but you're like, oh, man, that's the guy you don't want to have the ball with a chance to get the first down, and he went out of bounds.
They finally
game over.
Give Alvin Kamara, he runs out of bounds.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well,
thank you.
So I guess the big thing is hoping that Hendon Hooker is okay. But Vince, an eventful week. We didn't really talk a lot about the game because, unfortunately, that wasn't the story, but onward and upward, and we'll see what happens in Tuscaloosa. But appreciate the time as always.
Yeah, it's crazy. Nobody is talking about the fact that they gave up almost 200 yards rushing to Matt Corral. That's a big part of the game, and nobody is talking about it as if it had no factor in the ballgame. It's just officiating, and that's it.
Yeah, absolutely. All right, Vince, we'll talk to you next week.
All right, guys. Be good. See ya.
Vince Ferrara, 99.1, the Sports Animal in Knoxville, joins us every Monday. We'll have more on that. Derek Mason, D-Mace, going to join us at 1 o'clock. But first, Willie, tell us about QC Kinetics.
All right, got a brand new sponsor here. If you are in this category, tired of living with the chronic pain, with knee pain, joint pain, maybe you're getting up there in age, you're banging away with the jogging, things like that, you still like to play the hoops or, you know, whatever it is, these things start accumulating on you. So I want you to listen to this, because now there are new treatments available here. Not talking about surgery or steroids. These are regenerative treatments from the medical professionals at QC Kinetics. QC Kinetics is a leader in these exciting biologic therapies that help restore and repair damaged tissue in your joints. And these have lasting results. So if you've got pain in your knees, shoulders, hip, back, joint pain that won't go away, check out these new treatments. You may not have thought of these before. They've got astonishing patient satisfaction reports. They can actually help your body restore and repair of itself. No downtime, no drugs, no surgery. That's key. So call now to schedule your free consultation at QC Kinetics. 615-249-4024. That's 615-249-4024. If you're tired of dealing with this joint pain and you want to get moving, don't wait. Call today. QC Kinetics, 615-249-4024. Get that free consultation today.